Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Patesville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on His Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, His name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust. America, He's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we stand trust.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Amen. I'm behind this morning. I just now got my headphones on.
Oh, you're not behind.
How are you,
brother? I'm well, and you?
I'm doing all right. I've had one sip of coffee that I'll share with you if you'd like.
That's just one sip?
Just one's all I've had so far.
No, wait a minute. All morning, that's the only coffee you've had all morning long.
No, I held up this cup, meaning this cup, this coffee.
How many cups preceded that?
Boy, I'm not, several.
We don't need to go there, do
several. Don't need to go there today.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, good morning. Typical winter, well, not typical winter. It's not snowing and it's not 0 degrees, but it's a cool morning and I like it. I like it. I'm like the old brother that used to say, he couldn't stand hot weather. And so he used to say, I can put on enough clothes to stay warm, but I can't take off enough to stay cool.
That's true.
And he had a point there, I think.
He did have a point. So, I was thinking the other day, I was telling somebody, and in the midst of me telling this,
yes, sir.
I was talking, I said, I'm tired of the clouds, I want some sun. And
yes, sir.
Then it came to my mind about grumbling and complaining. And the children of Israel that come out of Egypt, about them grumbling and complaining, and I thought, hush, Tim, just hush and be thankful.
Amen.
So I kind of have to confess that this morning.
You are exactly correct.
The Lord has blessed us every day we wake up.
He has indeed. Speaking of the Lord, we're on the air to praise Him.
Amen.
And to glorify Him.
Mm-hmm.
And to advance His cause. That should be every Christian's soul. Top priority purpose in life is to advance the kingdom of God. And so we're here on this program, lo these many years, trying to do that the best we can. And we want to include our listeners in that.
Amen.
And so if they want to get in touch with us, why don't you tell them how they could do that, Timotheus?
Well, they can call us up at 789-0318, 606-789-0318. If you'd like to do a phone call, if you'd like to send us an email, we'll take that as well. You can go to godspointofview@yahoo.com. That's godspointofview@yahoo.com. You can also check us out on our Facebook page, God's Point of View. We are doing a live video as we speak, as we've been trying to do that and learning as we go.
And I'm not touching it.
Learning as we go. Or if you want to get in touch with the great Scott, I like to call him, anytime after the show would be a good idea. Maybe 606-367-0137.
That's exactly right. You got it.
I'm getting there.
Yeah, we want to encourage people to use their cellular devices and give us a call, email or whatever means you use.
Mm-hmm.
You could call us on an old rotary phone, couldn't they?
Yeah,
yeah.
If people know what those are anymore.
If they know what those are anymore.
I actually saw one the other day somewhere, and
really?
I don't remember. Yeah, it was, and I guess it worked, but it looked new, but it had the rotary dial on it. And
How about that?
There's a lot of younger generation that would not have a clue what that is.
I think you're right. As a matter of fact, I know you're right. I saw a report the other night where a dad had his two sons trying to figure out a rotary dial phone, And they tried two or three times before they got it just right, but they finally got it.
Finally got it.
Wow. We've been talking, let's see, this is the third Thursday?
Yes, I think we've been talking
about New Year's resolutions or things we ought to be resolved to do. And I want to talk today, after we get this phone call, I'd like to begin today talking about pastor's responsibility, church leader's responsibility in this new year. But let's get the call first.
Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Yes, I just want to speak to Jerry and thank him for what he's done for me Monday. This is Big O.
Hey, Big O. How you doing this morning,
good
brother?
Good morning, brother.
I'm doing a lot better. I just want to praise and thank Jerry for what he's done for me Monday morning. I come to him. Yeah. And,
bless you, brother.
September, the devil has come to my heart, and it's ruined me, and it's destroyed my family and everything, and I'm trying to make everything right again. I'm taking one day at a time, like I said, I had a good woman. Said bad things to her and done bad things, and I'm just destroyed, everything, And I do. I love everybody, and I'm trying to rededicate myself.
Amen.
And do the right thing. And it's just been a struggle here, but I'm taking one day at a time, and I want to praise Jerry for what he's done for me Monday, because I was in a bad state of mind Monday morning.
Well, I can tell you something. You're not the only one that can praise him, brother. There's a lot of others, including myself.
My.
I just wanted to let the people know throughout the listening area.
Thank you, Ollie.
Thank
you, brother. All glory goes to God. Let me say this to you. You took the first step in changing your life and turning your life around that morning by acknowledging your sin, and that's what everybody must do.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody must learn acknowledge their sinfulness. Now people can talk about, well, this happened to make me do something, that happened to make me do something. No. It's sin. Sin has always been our problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I say our problem because it's everybody's problem.
Yeah,
you're
and
right.
So you took the first step and then you followed up on it last night by rededicating your heart to Christ. We're so proud that you made that choice to do that and then followed through on it. And you just keep doing that day after day after day. And we'll be there for you, brother. God bless you. Thank you for calling.
I appreciate it.
We love you.
I appreciate it. I love you,
bye-bye.
Too. And you and Tim, and y'all have got a great show broadcast here every Thursday night.
Thank you.
And like I said, I swear thank you for what you've done.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Appreciate
have a good day now. We'll talk with you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. He must listen to our program and... As he said about the show, what we need is more time.
We
always need more. Mm-hmm. We've said that now for over 6 years. We need more time, more time, more time.
Yes, sir.
And so, we appreciate the call and the good words. There is nothing in any of us any good separate and apart from Christ.
Well, Jesus,
Christ makes everything different.
Jesus said himself, why do you call me good?
That's right. That's right.
There is none other than the Father. So Jesus said that. So
yes.
There is no good in any of us.
Yes. And so all praise and all glory goes to God.
Amen.
789-0318 367-0137. You can text... or call me during the show if you'd like. It'd be better if you did later. That way we wouldn't have any interruptions, and we could talk more privately if you'd like to make a phone call and have a private conversation. 367-0137. We value anonymity on this show. Nobody has to give their name. Nobody has to tell who they are, where they're calling from. You got a Bible question, there's the resources for you. You can call us, and we're not perfect. We don't have all the answers, but if we get a question we don't understand or don't know about, we'll try to research it and find out the answer and get back with you.
Yeah.
And so, New Year.
New Year.
New Year.
Still here.
Still here, and I guess we'll be talking about it for the rest of the month. But January is known as as a time of resolution. And we've been talking about churches, how churches, or how individuals, rather, make resolutions about the new year. But churches have the same responsibility. Leadership, church leaders have the same responsibility. I've noted two or three things here I think is worthy of. Every pastor that may be listening this morning or will be listening later possibly, or some of you church members, maybe it would be good if you could forward this on or refer this particular show to your pastor, something for him to think about. Now, I don't have all the answers to pastoring. 44 years I was pastor. And I've learned a thing or two, not much more than that. Actually,
you're modest.
Actually, I'm going to style these ABCs.
Oh, okay.
And that's easy for anybody.
See, you're sitting here with me, so that's where. Wait a minute. I'm with Timotheus. I better go simple.
Absolutely. So, in the life of the leader, it's important whether it's church. These rules, these ideas apply to any entity. Any business, charity group, anything where you want to get better, do better, make an impact on your community. But my purpose is the church.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's what my purpose has been and is the church. And so here's some ABCs that I hope will help church leaders. Advance.
Mm.
Advance. What will advance the church? I've spent much of my entire adult life thinking about what will advance the church. Now, what I mean by that is I'm talking about numerical growth, things that will help the church grow from the unchurched, not from church transfer, one member transferring to another. I'm not talking about that. That happens sometimes, and that's all well and good. But I'm talking about the unchurched. I'm talking about people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about people who have no idea what they should do in order to become children of God. I just noticed the email here. Got an email that says, what do you tell someone when they think God shouldn't decide their fate, heaven or hell? They believe they should be there should be a middle road, even though they believe there is a God. What you would first tell that person is that they will never advance the cause of Christ or their cause by telling God what to do.
No, the Bible doesn't say anything about that.
There is no middle ground.
No.
There's only two places to go.
Amen.
Heaven or hell. There's no setting the fence. There's an old countryism for that called a mudwomper. A mudwomper can't decide whether he should go this way or go that way, so he just straddles the fence. God does not give us that privilege.
Yeah.
We do not have the privilege of saying, why don't you give us a third option? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? No, we can't answer God. We have to learn to obey God. And so we're talking about this A, this first point, and answer the question right along together there.
Amen.
How about that?
That's great.
That's
timing.
Pretty slick, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, we thank the querist, the emailer, for the question. It's a good question. So the goal of any church, the goal of any pastor of a church is to move, let me use a sporting analogy, is to move the ball down the field.
Ah, head for those first downs.
You got it, brother. Only in our case, it's to advance the cause of Christ. So, what can you do this year, pastor, to lead your church, to advance the church? We've studied that for years, and we've looked at various things. We thought, how could we advance the cause of Christ? And so we began nearly 40 years ago thinking of ministries involving people and getting things lined up. Step one, step two, step three. How do you? You have to have vision to do it.
Well,
what will advance the church?
And I don't want to interrupt you, but with that, what comes to my mind is a lot of us, and I'll include myself, have a problem with change and with advancing the church, new ways to advance and bring in members and tell people about the unsaved, about Christ, is you got to make changes.
That's exactly right.
You have to go along, not going against the Word of God by any chance, I'm not saying that.
I know
I'm
you're
saying
not.
You have to make changes. For instance, we, instead of Sunday evening, we do live groups now at Highland.
Right.
So there is change. So I think that's one of the things that you, if you're thinking about, you have to be thinking about, we've got to make some changes.
And you have to be willing to acknowledge when you made a change that didn't work out,
mm-hmm.
you make another change.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to talk a little more about that in a minute. So the first ABC, A, is mm-hmm. advance the church. B, I want to say number two. B, better.
Yeah.
How can we simply do better? How can we be more efficient in doing things right? And how can we be more effective in doing the right things? Now, that's something to think about there, Timotheus. You see, we need to reflect on quality as pastors and church leaders, as well as performance.
Mm-hmm.
We've asked the question over the years. We usually ask the question in a family setting. When I say family, I mean a business meeting, church business mm-hmm. meeting. Everybody knows what that is, but we call them family meetings.
Because we're a family.
We're a family. And I, for years, I would ask the question, what are we doing? We need to stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what do we need to stop and start doing?
Yeah.
So there's always a way to do it better. A, advance, how to advance the church. B, how to make it better. And C, control.
Uh-oh.
Now, yeah. Uh-oh. See, that's what most people, they hear that uh-oh. they hear that word control, and the first thing is uh-oh.
Yeah.
I understand that. Let me make this statement. This is going to sound bad, and I'll be chastised for it. That's all right.
But bear with us.
My hide is tough.
That's tougher than it used to be.
You don't pastor for 44 years and not be tough. What the kingdom of God is, it's ruled by a benevolent dictator. Christ is a benevolent dictator.
Yeah, I mean, if you lay it down, it's his way or the highway.
Absolutely. And what every local church needs is a pastor who follows in the footsteps of Christ. A benevolent dictator.
You mean a pastor that just will not put up with anything or go with anything?
I'm talking about a pastor that loves his people, loves people in general, lost people.
Yep.
God loves lost people, and so we must love lost people, but have rules and policies and to advance the church and to make it better in place and make sure that's followed. And put people in place to help him make sure it's followed.
Amen.
I like one thing Ronald Reagan said years ago. Ronald Reagan said that he had a vision for the way things ought to go. And he put people in charge of certain aspects of that and would delegate authority to them. And he said he left them alone. He let them do their job. And he gave them the resources they needed for the job and gave them the direction. This is the goal. As long as they did that and didn't deviate from it, he left them alone. And he said as long as his vision was carried out, he let people carry that out with their own personalities and with their own ideas. As long as the macro vision was carried out, and I think every pastor needs to follow something similar to that. When you think about control, we're talking about the control of the vision and the values and the culture that you want your church to have. There's certain things that let me just use Highland. Forgive me for using the Highland Church. But I know us better than anybody else.
Absolutely.
We started doing things years ago for a reason. We didn't just do them to
be
fill
doing
time.
Yeah.
We did them for a reason. And those things, we saw to it that they were protected. Every pastor has a responsibility to do that. You see, leaders have to provide order instead of anarchy. Unity instead of division. Focus on what the mission is instead of just a bunch of tactics and strategies that some people think might work. It's good to get everybody's idea. But then you've got to think, does this line up with the vision? And that's the pastor's duty, his responsibility. So ABCs, here's another statement I might be taking to the woodshed over. That's all right. The ABC should be pursued ruthlessly. Mm. Now, there's two words now, Timotheus, that gives people pause.
Mm-hmm.
Benevolent dictator, I guess that's three words. Benevolent dictator and ruthlessly. Here's what I mean by ruthless. Boldness, calm, and an emotion that's in check. You see, you're going to find areas that you need to change. And you said it a moment ago, change is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
When you enter any area that needs to be changed, you have to understand that people oftentimes will view that as a gospel. We've got to do it that way because it's gospel. No, it's a method. And methods must be changed at the appropriate time. Methods are many, doctrines are few.
Methods change, doctrines never do.
Absolutely. So we have to be willing to change the method. Now, that's when the ABCs can get a little scary.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have these idols set up in every church. Like the woman who thought the little tablecloth on the Lord's table was in the Bible. And when they took it off to send it to the cleaners, she had a fit. Well, that's not part of the Lord's Supper. That was just there as a decorator, mm-hmm. a decorating thing. So what leaders must do is to work steadfastly. I've told the church this for years. As soon as they left the assembly, I started thinking about them and how to help them throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the church members never thought another thing about the church. Now, that's just reality, folks. We go and we go to church, and then we can't wait to get out to beat the Baptist or the Methodist or whoever to the buffet.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think about the church till next week when we got up, gotta go again. But the pastor thinks about you all week long.
Or
and,
should.
And prays for you. Well, I'm talking about a pastor worth his salt. I'm not talking about the others.
Yeah.
He prays diligently for you. And he is always thinking about when it's time. When's the right time to bring this new change or this new method? He's thinking about, is it time to quit something, start something, fix something, end something, move something, try something, transition something, change something, or redirect something? He's constantly looking for ways to make things better. It's not a matter of ego. You know what ego stands for, don't you? E-G-O, edging God out.
Mm.
That's what ego is. We're not interested in advancing pastors with an ego.
Yeah.
We're interested in God getting the glory and the praise. I'm always humbled when someone brags on me. When the brother called a little while ago, I thank him for that. But I'm always uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I was quick to give God the glory. And,
amen.
And we should.
Amen.
And I do appreciate, I'm not taking that lightly, I appreciate those kind words.
Yeah.
But if we're not careful, the ego gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, pastor, this new year, think about your ABCs. You need to think about advancing the church. What will advance the church? What will make the church better? That's the B. And then control, a benevolent dictator. Love your people, but see to it that what you have instituted stays until it needs to be changed. You don't do this all by yourself. You have a group of men around you, sisters around you that do all kinds of different things in the church, and you have to be affirming and affirm them and not just say, this is the way we're going to do it. No, no. Treat them like Jesus would treat them.
Amen.
That's what I mean by control. Jesus always had control. Always.
Never let anybody get him out of control.
And you never think about him being the bad connotation of the word dictator, do you?
Mm-mm.
That's what pastors need to develop.
Mm-mm.
And I'll tell you something, and I've prayed a lot about this over the years. The longer I've been a Christian, the more change I have seen taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Been a Christian 52 years. And all the changes I've seen while I've pastored for 44 years makes me, I just feel a prompting from the Holy Spirit of God to be more, I'm going to use another word, draconian.
Oh, help us with that one.
There's three or four new words for us today. Rigorous.
Mm.
Severe. Some even, equate being cruel. I don't mean it that way. I just mean old-fashioned. Do things an old-fashioned way. Do things the way the Bible says to do things. I believe when we pray about this, pastors, and ask God, show me what you want me to do, He'll direct you back to the Bible every single time. You see, there's benefit to this kind of exercise, to be thinking this new year about how to advance the church, how to make it better, how to control the things that take place. You can't just let everything... I remember one time a fellow came to visit us at Highland, come right up and sit on the front pew, where, you know, where all the preachers sat, mm-hmm. sat on the front pew, and he told me, he said, the preacher, he said, I had a dream, I had a vision. I said, did you? He said, yeah. He said, the Lord came to me and told me to tell you to let me preach. And I said, well, I'll tell you, if the Lord wants me to let you to preach, the Lord's going to have to tell me to let you preach, not tell you to tell me. So if you are a pushover for anything that comes along, you're not in control.
Yeah.
You are not setting things in order properly, like Paul told young Timothy. So this exercise is good, and I've done it for years. You see, we want to be able to spell out the next step to our congregation, to our people. This is where we are. This is the next step. This is the next thing we need to do. And by the way, isn't that why you learn your ABCs?
Sure.
To spell things out?
Absolutely.
That's what we're trying to do as pastors and leaders in our churches, is to spell things out. A leader that fails to do that has failed to lead.
Well, the thing that comes to mind, too, is members may be listening and say, well, this show's all about Pastor Dave. It's not about me. I'm a member. But it gives us some insight as to why your pastor is doing things, why sometimes your feelings are hurt.
Absolutely.
Why you don't understand. If you don't understand something, make an appointment to go talk with him.
Yeah.
He will let you know what he's doing. But you can't just sit and explain everything all the time. You'd never get anything done.
No, you can't. You can't.
So I encourage members to be patient with your pastor and pray for him and encourage him.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And if you don't want to be a part of what they're doing, then get out of the way and let somebody else go on.
Well, I like another thing. I think Ronald Reagan said it. As you can tell, he was one of my heroes in this world. And he used to say, and maybe he didn't say this, but he said, lead, follow, or get out of the way.
Amen.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
In leadership. I don't care whether it's the church or this or WSIP Studios, Fort Broadcasting. I don't care whether it's a school system, both school systems. There is a person there who's in charge.
Amen.
And when there's not someone in charge, you've got problems.
Mm.
Well, 7890318, got about 2 minutes. You could give us a call if you'd like, comment on what we've said, or send us an email on what we've said. Disagree with us, that's all right.
Somebody may call and just boo us.
I don't care. It's all right. It's all right. That's the freedom we have.
Amen.
I read about some freedom someone took over in Israel. You may have seen this. Christians in Israel protesting a sculpture in a museum depicting Ronald McDonald.
Ronald McDonald?
As McJesus.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Of course, it's a clown. Ronald McDonald's a clown, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got this Ronald McDonald, McJesus, crucified on a cross. It's part of an exhibit they're calling Sacred Goods. And what they're doing is making fun of us. It's intended to highlight ways that our faith, Christian faith, is dominated by the consumer culture.
My. Wonder what McDonald's thinks about that.
Well, I don't know what McDonald's thinks about that. I don't know. I still like their fries.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like their burgers, too.
But that was over in Israel, and that was at the Jewish museum.
Wow.
You know, right there in the heart of Judaism. It's amazing. It's amazing. Well, I hope and pray it's been a good show, and we hardly ever talk about what pastors are supposed to do. I don't remember a whole show ever talked about pastors all the way through.
Got one now.
Yeah, we got one now. Bless you.
Bless you, brother. Thank you for joining us today, folks, for another edition of God's Point of View. We'd like to invite you to services at the church. Sunday school gets underway Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening life groups at 6 p.m. and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Again, thanks for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.